Welcome back to basic training week number 3. And a quick progress report again. Hopefully you were out doing your assigned work. And so I'm going to check, okay? How many of you, again, this is a guilt-free zone. This is only a place where we can encourage improvement from where we're currently at. But I want to ask, how many of you took up the challenge to pray with your family every day this week? Raise your hands. Any hands out there? Awesome, awesome. Okay, again, we are here to celebrate partial credit. How many of you, school's back in session, and who doesn't like a little partial credit on that question? Like, I got something right. How many of you pray with your family at least once this week that you carved out? Yes, awesome, fantastic. Well done, guys. It was good for my family to get back in a routine and a discipline regarding this, and it's funny with my family. So I got 4, right? And a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, and Alicia and I, and I'm not going to reveal our ages, but we prayed in the order of ages, and I was last, okay? But here's how it worked. We asked for prayer requests when we first get started, and Isaiah always wants to pray for me, and Ellie for Alicia, you know, guys with guys, girls with girls. And so Isaiah would ask me, like, what can I pray for you? And so I always give him something that he can pray for me about, simple, you know, so he can remember. But then Ellie starts off the prayer. And she prays forever. Like, she just prays about all kinds of things. She prays about this dead cat that we've never had a cat. But she thinks she has, and it's died, and she's hoping that one will take its place. And I really hope that the Lord does not answer that request. But then, when it comes time for Isaiah to pray, he doesn't remember. So he starts praying. He says, thank you, God, for, what was I supposed to pray for you? So I have to remind them. So it was good times, and hopefully that those have been good times for your family. But and this is our desire, okay? So as we're encouraging these disciplines in our lives through our study of prayer, that hopefully halfway now through this series, you're starting to get a little fitter. You know, just like if you went through boot camp, you, a couple weeks in, hopefully you can maybe see an ab or two pop out, you know, or you can see some endurance start to build. Hopefully what's happening in your life is that spiritually, as you're practicing these disciplines, you're starting to experience some spiritual fitness as God, by his grace, works in the midst of those things. So that's what we're hoping for, and encourage you to take the rest of the challenges throughout the course of this series to let God do all that he wants to in our time together in basic training. So let me remind you of weeks 1 and 2, though, in case you missed those or you forgot, which is entirely possible. Week 1, we talked about the importance of meditating on God's word, how that's really the on-ramp to prayer, that if prayer is going to be a conversation where I'm hearing from God and I'm talking back to God, that his word has to be involved, because God primarily communicates to us through the gift of the scriptures, the Bible, and so that we meditate on that as the on-ramp to prayer to get us ready to enter into his presence. And then we saw last week that when Jesus gives the Lord's Prayer, better maybe known as the disciples' prayer, on how to teach them to pray, it doesn't start with the petition. That's often what we think of when we think of prayer. We think of prayer as asking for things, and that's part of prayer, but that's not all of prayer. And Jesus says, before you get to that, start with acknowledging who it is you're talking to. Spend some time adoring and worshiping your Father who art in heaven. But today we get to the topic of petitions and bringing requests before God. I'm excited to do that with you guys. But even as we get into that, you're going to see that Jesus approaches this different than maybe the way we typically think about it. In 2006, I was hired on as a youth pastor at a church in Oregon while I was going through seminary. I've been attending the church, being mentored by the senior pastor, and the guy before me left, and so I stepped in to take over the ministry. So I came on staff, and it was a challenging experience for me. I told you last week about how God really taught me how to go into my secret place and pray and get alone with him. But this is really the time where God challenged me to pray with others regarding the things for his church. And so every week we'd have staff meeting, and in staff meeting we'd get together and pray for all the requests that the church had brought in that week. And what was challenging for me as a newer guy on staff, I didn't know a lot of these people. I wasn't intimately aware of their circumstances, and so I had to look at a prayer request and figure out, how do I pray for this? And what was challenging for me at times was, at times I would look at the prayer request and I would think, God, I'm not sure that that's what you want for their life. Or I would say, God, I'm not sure if that's all that you want for their life. And as I listened to my brothers praying for their requests, I started to learn that, what does it mean to pray according to how God wants to work in these situations? And maybe you've had that tension before. Maybe somebody's come to you, or maybe you've had a request yourself, and they've said, hey, can you pray for me about this issue? And the way maybe that they stated, that the thing that they focused on in the request, you thought, okay, that's good. But I wonder if there's more that God wants to do in this situation than just that healing or just that alleviation of that circumstance or just that, you know, removal of that burden, whatever it may be. I wonder if God has more that he wants to do in that situation. And I think we'll see as we open up God's word this morning and we look at what Jesus does and how he teaches us to pray, that he wants to help kind of reverse our priorities in how we bring our petitions, our lists of things before him, so that we're praying more for the things that he wants to give and less for the things maybe that we think we need for our lives. So let's check it out. Grab a Bible, if you would, and open with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And as you're turning there, again, we're opening to the Sermon on the Mount, right in the heart of it, where Jesus is addressing this issue of prayer. And he's given this model prayer for how his disciples can pray as he did, how he would go off and spend time with the Father. This is how they could do that in their own personal lives as well, and together as a group. And what we're going to look at here primarily this morning are, we looked at the address last week, and now there's 6 or 7 petitions, depends on who you talk to. But the first three are undeniably what they call the thou petitions. They are God-focused, that every one of them in the Greek language ends with the word your. So that each request ends with your. And what we'll see is that these first three petitions are all about God and all about what God wants to do. And then we'll look very briefly at the fourth petition, which then transitions to our need as we bring our supplications and our requests before God. So that's what we're going to look at. We got 4 things. Would you join me as we pray and jump in? Father in heaven, thank you that you're both good Father and great God and creator in heaven, and that we can come before you now knowing that you are zealous for our good. You want to do great things in our lives, and yet at the same time, God, you are able, because none can thwart your purposes. None is as powerful as you. And so we come hungry, Lord. Teach us to pray, not just in theory, but in practice. And God, may this be a church that prays in a way that, God, you delight to move and respond in power to our petitions and our requests. And we'll thank you, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so the first thing we're going to see, first petition, is all about seeking God's glory. So we begin to seek God's glory. Why don't I do this? I'm going to read the prayer, and I invite you to read along with me. Let's read the whole Lord's Prayer, and then we'll dive into that one petition about seeking God's glory. It goes like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Come on, you guys can read with me. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's God's word. And he begins, the first petition is, hallowed be your name. And let's be honest, you have never used the word hallowed in your life in a normal conversation, okay? You don't have any idea what that word means. And I didn't either, so that's fine. But this word for hallowed, not normal. It means to make holy. It's literally the Greek word to make holy. Now, we've got to be careful here. Hallowed be your name. How do we make God holy? You see, to say that I can make God more holy is to say that somehow he's not completely holy, and that would be a blasphemous statement. Like, you should get me off the stage if we were to say that that's what this petition means. That can't be what it means. God is perfect in all his character and all his attributes. God is perfect in holiness. That can't be what it means. So what does it mean to make your name holy, God? Well, it says to make his name. The name of God is representative. You see, names for us are just kind of, you know, ways that we can sign up for things and get junk email. But the name in this time, the name of God, this encompasses all that he is, his character. God's character is wrapped up in his name. I think is why when Moses asked, who should I say is sending me? He's like, dude, I can't even begin to try and wrap up all that I am. I am. I am. Like that song we sang. So we want to make holy God's character's name. Again, that's not that we can add anything to it, but the radiance of God's character is his glory. And so that really what we're praying, I think, is when we ask this prayer, and this is a petition. When I first started studying this, I thought this was worship. This is a request. And this is a request that God's holiness would be put on display. That God, you would be hallowed. That we would put on display your immensity, your greatness, your goodness, that we would put it on display for others to see. In essence, this is us praying, God, we want to be your publicists. We want to get your name out there. We want to get your fame out there. We want people to know how great you are. Which means that at some level, God is letting us be his name bearers. He's letting us play the role of telling the world of his greatness and his goodness. You know, there's a lot of great athletes in the world that we know nothing about. I mean, they're faster, stronger, wiser, more competitive than the guys that we know the reason that we don't hear about them isn't because they're not great athletes or they're not strong or they're not fast or they're not good. It's because they don't have any press. But we hear about the guys who are making the millions of dollars, who have the right agent, right, and who have the right publicity. Those are the guys that we know about. And I think at some level what God's saying, I don't need you to make me, I'm great as it is. But I want to give you the opportunity to be my publicist, to share my glory with the world. So we are his name bearers. And so this is a petition saying that God, I want to be a good name bearer. I want to bear your name well in this world that you've placed me. So this petition, from a practical standpoint, has at least two elements to it. The first is this. This is a petition to say, God, make me holy as you are holy. I want people, as they look into my life, to see something unique and different, that I'm not trusting in all the garbage that this world says is valuable or important, but I'm trusting in you. And the fruit of my life is consistent with that. So that people would look at your life and say, man, there's something different. And they would get a glimmer of the holiness of God through his work and his grace in our lives. So for one, it is, God, root out sin. Root out weakness. Lord, root out brokenness, rebellion. God, deal with me. Make me like Christ. But secondly, this is a missionary prayer. This is a prayer that says, God, I long for your faith in you and trust in you to spread to the darkest places of this world. That God, you would take over, that your glory would be known, that your name would be pronounced everywhere throughout this earth. John Piper, writing about this, said that missions exist where hallowing doesn't. Taking a twist on a famous quote of his. That our mission as the church is, if there are people who do not make holy through their worship the name and the glory and the fame of God, that we want to be about spreading that to them so that they too, like us, can make much of Jesus. So the first thing, yeah, we seek God's glory in our prayer. It's all about God, right? Amen. Next thing we seek is his kingdom. So we want his fame to spread. We want news about God to spread, but we don't want it just to be empty news. We want it to be life-changing news. We want to see his kingdom come. That's the second thing. We seek God's kingdom. He says, your kingdom come. Very simple statement, very profound truth. You see, the gospel writer Matthew is obsessed with the kingdom. He writes about it all throughout his gospel. It's the dominant theme, the kingdom of God. And notice the first thing about this is the kingdom of God is not something that we bring about. It's not dependent on us. It's dependent on God. That's why it's a request. That's why it's a prayer. God, would you cause your kingdom to come? Yes, you want to use me. Yes, you want me to be a part, but ultimately, God, this is your work. I want to be a part of it. Build your kingdom here. Your kingdom come. So that's the first thing, that God's going to do it. So what is this kingdom of God that we talk about here? The kingdom, I've said it before from this platform, is God's people in God's place under God's rule. This is a dominant theme throughout all the scriptures. Think about Adam and Eve, God's people in the Garden of Eden, God's place, perfect, under God's rule, listening to his every command. And then sin enters in and wrecks everything. Humanity is spiraling downward until God calls a man named Abram to follow him, and he sets apart a people for himself, God's people. He says, I'm going to make you a promise. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to give you a land, the promised land, and I'm going to bless you that all the families in the earth through you might be blessed. God's people in God's place under God's rule, a blessing to be a blessing to the world. Bumps and bruises along the way, we get to David. And King David is a godly king, and under his heart after God, God sets up a kingdom in which God's people are in the promised land. They're in God's place, and they're not perfectly, but experiencing God's rule so that when Solomon takes over, the nations are coming to Israel to say, what is happening in this nation? What's so great about your God? And it almost seems like God's purposes are about to be fulfilled. And then Solomon turns from the Lord and sin enters in and wrecks it again. And struggle and disappointment continues throughout the story until Jesus shows up. And Jesus says, behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's close. The king is here. The kingdom's coming around him as he heals disease and sickness and has power over creation. And then he calls a people to himself, his disciples, people who are going to follow him in his kingdom ways. And he dies. But even that he had prophesied, right? Because he rose 3 days later victorious, and now he ascends to heaven. He has sent his spirit. He's birthed the church. God's people are still active and existing today. That's us as we follow Jesus. We are God's people. We are under his rule. He is leading us. And although this world doesn't look like our forever home yet, one day he's going to make it that way. He's coming back. God's kingdom fulfilled. And so here's the thing. Here's why it's a request. Because we experience it in part, but not completely. It's already, but not yet. Jesus came and he inaugurated his eternal kingdom, and yet it's our own hearts, we still wrestle with sin. Our churches still wrestle with sin. There are people out there still in opposition against God. This place isn't the way that it's supposed to be yet. And so God invites us to join him in praying, your kingdom come, your kingdom come. You know, I think of this prayer, there's a reason why we call this basic training, because prayer has so much in common with battle and war. And I almost see this prayer as God saying, come here, I want to show you the world. I want you to look at the map. You know, there's a map up in the community center of the progress of evangelical Christianity in the world. And it's almost like God says, here, I want to show you this map. I want to show you where I'm at, where I have established myself throughout the world. And there's green spots over here where things are going well, and there's orange spots and yellow spots over here where things aren't so good, and there's spots where it's red, and there's almost no witness or zero witness for Christ. And God would say, I want my kingdom there. I want my fame. I want my rule to spread throughout this entire earth. We're going to see that in the book of Acts. And we can join him in that process. We can say, God, work there. God, send people. God, send me. Send my money. Send our stuff. Send our people. God, would your kingdom come? So friends, there's a number of ways that you can be involved in this. That you would ask God to strengthen his kingdom here in this locale, in your home, in your neighborhood. Pray for your neighbors, that God's kingdom would come in their lives, for your church, God, you would make us about your kingdom. God, you would deploy us for your service, that we would have a huge impact in Bakersfield. Pray for other churches. God, that we'd stand shoulder to shoulder in the fight for what you want to do here. They'd be praying to the uttermost parts of the earth. And because of our technology, we have a way to do that today like we've never been able to in the past. I want to give you two resources to help you pray specifically away from where you live. Turn your note sheet over. There's two QR codes there. And one of the ways that we can, in addition to praying for God's kingdom to come in our own lives and in the world around us, is the first QR code is for the Voice of the Martyrs Persecuted Church app. You can scan that with your phone, download that to your iPhone or your Android device, and it'll give you a daily reminder to pray. A button to say, hey, I prayed, and I joined with those 500 people praying for that persecuted group. And it gives you specific requests and information about that location, like Afghanistan, in which you can then intercede and say, God, would your kingdom come in this place? Second one is the Joshua Project app. And you can scan that again and get that on your iPhone or your Android device. And this one actually gives you a different unreached people group to pray for every single day, a place where there isn't a significant enough gospel witness to reach that people group yet. And sometimes they have little scripture or no scripture, but you can say, God, and there's requests, specific requests for how you can ask God to work in that people group every single day. And you can also click I prayed, and you can join and add to the number of people who are lifting up that particular group of people whom you've never met, they've never met you, and yet you can still have an impact for the kingdom there through prayer. And then lastly, I think this prayer, your kingdom come, is also a longing. It's a longing to say, God, this world is not yet the way that it's supposed to be. It's not as you want it. Your will is still being opposed in areas. And God, I long for the day. I long for the day when the king, sitting on his throne, has all his enemies put under his feet, and we, his people, by his grace, are worshiping and serving and experiencing all the goodness that you intended for us initially when you made us. And that'll be a good day. So it's a longing, it's a hope in addition to a petition and a request. So we do ask, God, your kingdom come. And then he says, your will be done. And so next we seek God's will. So we seek God's glory, we seek God's kingdom, we seek God's will. And this is a specific request that Luke doesn't include in his chapter 11 treatment. And it's not because it's not unimportant to him, it's closely related with the other two. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. And notice that he says, on earth as it is in heaven. And most believe, and I would agree, that this on earth as it is in heaven isn't just relating to God's will. It's relating to his will, the request before, his kingdom, and hallowing his name above. So all three of these requests, Jesus is inviting us to pray on earth as it is in heaven. You see, because in heaven there's no opposition to God's will. There's no elect angels who are saying, nah, not going to do that. Not going to obey, not going to do exactly everything that you say. No, in God's presence in heaven, his will is being perfectly exercised. And yet for a time, he's allowed opposition here on earth as he's redeeming and carrying out his plan. And this prayer then is to say, God, would you give us more of what's going on in heaven down here on earth? More submitting to your rule, more submitting to your reign. God, more experiencing the fullness of what you have for us. See, this is a prayer to say, God, we want you to change things from opposition to your will to submission to your will. That God, we want to be subject to your good and perfect and pleasing will in our lives. Martin Luther, when he meditated on this prayer, which he did often, he grabbed this particular request, and he said that this request is specifically us praying back to God and saying, God, whatever you want to bring into my life, whatever trials, whatever difficulties, Whatever challenges, God, I want you to bring those things into my life, and I want to submit to your will, because God, ultimately what I want is to be like Jesus. And I know that the easy road is not the road to becoming like Christ. The road to becoming like Christ is filled with hardship and difficulty and suffering. And as challenging as that may be, God, my deepest desire is to please you, is to honor you. And I do that best when I look like Christ. Thy will be done. So friends, are you going through something difficult, perhaps, in which your prayers have been along the lines of, God, take it away. God, I don't want this anymore. I don't want this difficulty. I don't want this challenge. And maybe you would remember this and say, but God, I want what you want more than anything else. And I believe the promise, Romans 8, 28, 29, you're at work in all things for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. So that I've been predestined to be conformed to the image of your Son. Like, that's your goal. That's your purpose. More than anything else, that's what I want in this life. Thy will be done. And here's the thing. You can't pray this prayer sincerely unless you've spent some time worshiping your Father who is in heaven. Because unless you know that God is your good Father, you'll be terrified to pray this prayer. You'll be terrified to say, God, bring into my life whatever, because you don't trust him. You're not sure that he knows what's best. But if you can say, but you are a good Father, and I know you're not going to overwhelm me. I know you're only going to give me what I can handle. But God, I want the challenges that are going to shape me more into the likeness and image of your Son. And here's the other thing. Until you can pray this prayer with a sincere heart, you never know true peace. Because until you can say, God, come what may, I trust you. Until you can pray, when peace like a river attendeth my soul, it is well with my soul. Until you can get to that point, you'll never know peace. Because you're always going to wonder, God, well, what about this? What if that happened? What if I didn't step into this mess? What if I hadn't done that? But instead you can say, God, you're using all of it for your glory. You're using all of it for my good. You're using all of it to make me like Christ. You see, this prayer really is all about God, isn't it? Your name, you know, your kingdom, your will, God. And here's why I think Jesus has us spend some time with these requests first, because then when we get to this next one, our hearts are in the right place. Our hearts are now ready at this point in the prayer to say, God, give us this day our daily bread. And that's the next request. Let's look at this last point. We need to seek our need. Seek our need. This last request is, give us this day our daily bread. There's some confusion about what this day means. It's only used twice in the whole New Testament, once here and once in the other place where Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer. So we really don't have a solid grasp on the complete meaning of this word. But most believe it means one of two things. It either means give us today our daily bread, or it means give us tomorrow our daily bread. Which in my mind was like, you just spent how many paragraphs trying to argue that? It don't matter to me. It's like, in the near future, give us today our daily bread. And here's the picture. I mean, this is post, if you're reading your Bible from Genesis to this point in the book of Matthew, this should spark a thought in your mind. Oh, that's right. God's people, when they were in the wilderness and they had no way to get food for themselves, God provided food miraculously from heaven. He called it manna. What is it? It was a bread-like substance that collected on the ground. They gathered it up and they ate it. They got tired of it after a while, but it met their needs. And this is us saying, God, give us this day our daily bread. Meet our needs. We're dependent on you. Take care of us like you did your people in the wilderness, leading them into the promised land. And bread isn't just talking about physical need, right? This would be terrible for those of you who are gluten-free. I can only ask for bread. Dang, like I want a steak. Bread is representative in the Bible of our life's needs. And this isn't just physical. Yes, we're to ask God to meet our physical needs, our food needs, our nutrition needs, our financial needs. But what about our emotional needs, our relational needs, our spiritual needs? I believe these are all appropriate. Because we come to the God who, in Genesis 22, is called the Lord who provides. That on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Jehovah Jireh. A God who says, see, this was the problem with the disciples, right? The feeding of the 5,000. They looked at the amount of food they had. They said, no way. And God says, let me tell you a secret. I'm never limited to human means. I have an endless supply of anything you could possibly need. You can come to me and I'm faithful. You can come to me and I'm able. You can come to me and I can provide what you need. Do you believe that, church? Because that's who God wants to be in your life, so that when you pray this, you say, God, I believe you can meet my needs. I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care what the odds are. I don't care how bad things seem to be stacked against me. You're God who provides. Notice he says, though, your need, not your greed, not the things that you want more than God. Like God's not interested in giving you that idolatrous thing that you really want to take his place. He's not excited about saying, yes, you can have that really expensive car that you're going to worship more than me. Yeah, here you go. Like, God's not excited to do that for you. He wants your heart. He wants you to depend on him, to trust in him. You know, isn't it interesting that almost all of, I can't think of one not, so if you know one that's not, let me know, I'll correct it for the next sermon. I can't think of a single, like, genie or wishing tale story in which it all works out great. The story always goes something like this. Oh, I get these wishes. I can ask for whatever I want, and he has to do it for me. And they get exactly what they ask for, and it absolutely wrecks their life. There's Aladdin thought, I want Jasmine. I need to be a prince. And he, you know, rides in to try and win her heart, and she's repulsed by the prince. And it's not until he's himself that things actually start to move forward in the movie. I won't spoil it for you, in case you haven't watched it. Hate to do that. But see, when we get exactly what we want, we make a wreck of our lives. So that's why we come to a good father who doesn't give us exactly what we want. He gives us what we need. And aren't you glad that God graciously sometimes says yes to your desire, but not to your request? And he says, I know what you really are asking for. You've phrased it in the form of this over here. That's garbage. This is what I want to meet that need and desire. So thankful that I have a God who can see through even my ignorance and give me what I truly, truly need. But here's the other thing too. This need is not, again, sorry to burst your bubble. God's not really excited about your comfort or about helping you fulfill all of the American dream. Like, that's not his plan for your life. What God wants to do is to send you on a thrilling and exciting journey for the sake of his glory and his kingdom here on earth that you'll be telling stories about for all eternity as you watch God work through your life like you'd never thought before. Like, that's the exciting journey he wants to take you on. And so his prayer request is, God, fit me for battle. Give me what I need to fight. Give me what I need to stand up for people, for you, Lord, to be about your purposes and your glory. I've quoted this before, but John Piper says, until you know that life is a war, you cannot know what prayer is for. Prayer is you, the soldier, saying, we're in the heat of battle. Send reinforcements. Man, we're here isolated, fighting all by ourselves. Send rations. You know, we're weak and we're tired. Give us strength. Give us the courage. We gotta take this, and it's going to cost us some of our lives. Give us the courage to stand and give our lives to the glory of Christ. Like, that's what this prayer request is about. Give us what we need, God, to give you the most glory until you take us home. So friends, this is what we mean. Summarize it up. In prayer, we prioritize what God wants over what we want. In prayer, we prioritize what God wants over what we want, which might mean that some of those wants don't even make it into the prayer because they don't fit with what God wants. So here's the challenge that I want to give to you this week. I took a seminary class on spiritual disciplines where we talked about prayer, and when the professor made the insight that Jesus repeatedly gave the Lord's Prayer as a response to how to pray like he did, I said, man, I should use that. And so I started using the Lord's Prayer as a guide to my personal times of prayer. And some of you are here and you say, Matt, I've tried praying and I can't ever get past 5 minutes because I've run out of things to pray about. And I think Jesus would say, I get that, I understand. That's why I gave you a guide. I gave you an outline. I gave you something that's supposed to give you reminders to pray for the things that you easily forget to pray about. And so if you have your bookmark with you, grab it, take it out with me. If you didn't get one of these the first week of the series, there'll be some in the info booths. Grab some on your way out. But my challenge to you is this, that you would carve out time to pray. And I'm not giving you any time limit. Carve out time to pray every day this week and use the Lord's Prayer to guide your time. If you look at the bookmark, it has the Lord's Prayer written out and it has three sections to it. We've talked about adoration. Spend some time adoring God and recognizing he is Father in heaven and remember all that that means and spend time worshiping him, thanking him, praising him for who he is and what he's done in your life. And then remember these requests that we're talking about now. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And spend some time in supplication, asking God for his help, saying, God, I need you. I need you in this area. I need you in this area. God, I need you to do this in this person. Work in this part of the world, God. Bring your glory. And then lastly, as we'll talk about next week, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God, spend some time in confession saying, God, help me with my sin. Let me experience your grace. God, help me to forgive others. Help me to avoid the things that are get me off the mission of what you have for me. So every day this week, use the Lord's Prayer. I challenge you to guide your time of prayer and see what the Lord does with it. At this point, I want to invite Bryce back up, and he's going to play some music for us, and I'll tell you what is going to happen in just a moment. But I want to close by saying, okay, how do you do this? How do you really find the motivation every single day to be able to get with the Lord and to spend this time with him in prayer? I think you have to see Jesus praying this prayer for you. And when you understand Jesus' heart and zeal and model and all that his work accomplished for you, it'll stir your heart to want to follow him in this. In Matthew 26, Jesus is in the garden, and he prays this. The disciples are sleeping. Jesus is praying. Judas is coming. The guards are coming. And verse 42, he says, and again, for the second time, he went away and prayed. My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. Like Jesus prayed this prayer to glorify his Father and for your eternal good. Had Jesus not said this, had Jesus said, someone else's will be done, we're lost, we're hopeless. But because Jesus said, your will be done, he went through with the plan. He drank the cup of the Father's wrath that you deserve for your sin, that I deserve for my sin. And because of that, we're free, we're forgiven, we're part of the kingdom, we're part of the mission, we're endowed with the Spirit, and now we're empowered to glorify Christ with our lives. That's what this prayer is about. Jesus, that we would put our lives on the line for the sake of the kingdom like you did. At this point, we're going to carve out a little bit of time as we wrap up to spend some time in supplication. You can sit right where you are or stand or kneel. I mean, really don't worry about what people are thinking around you. We'll put some requests up on the screen and invite you to respond to them in prayer. But what also is going to happen, I'm going to have some of the elders and pastors in the back, here up front. And maybe you say, I have a need or a burden. I don't know if I have the strength to pray it, or I've just been praying for it so long, I need somebody else to ask God for this in my life. They're going to be available for you to come up and receive prayer. And I invite you, please don't feel like anything other than you want God to work in your life if you come up to pray. Just take advantage of that. What a gift. But if you want to stay seated, that's fine, or stand or kneel. We'll put requests on the screen. We'll spend some time just asking God for his help in the areas that would bring him glory. And then we'll come back together and wrap up. Let's pray. We're going to dismiss at this time, and I also encourage you, if you want to hang back and pray, either where you're at or with these men who love you and want to see God work powerfully in your life, then you are welcome to do that. But otherwise, you are dismissed. Don't forget your basic training challenge for this week. Every day, you should take advantage of this incredible resource that God has given us in prayer. If you're new, we'd love to meet you and see how you can be a part of what God's doing at this church. Join us in the Next Steps room. Otherwise, you guys, be blessed as you draw near to God and ask his help and ask him for the things that he wants to give you. He delights to bless. See you next week. Take care.